Oh, hey friends, welcome back to another episode. This is going to be a good one. I got a lot of questions this week, a lot of things that I found in the news that I thought we could talk about. And most importantly, I was in New York City this weekend and I feel like you need to know all about it. It was such a good time. I went to New York City with a very good childhood friend of mine. And we had our list of things to see and do, and we did them all and then some. I was pretty proud of us. We spent about 3.5 days there, and we did all the everything. I'm going to tell you all about it. We got to New York City. Actually, we flew into Newark, New Jersey, and we got there Friday night, and it was kind of late when we got in. I think it was around 10:30. We had a cute little hotel in Chinatown, and so we kind of looked around there a little bit, got all checked in, and then said, you know what, this is the city that never sleeps, let's go on an adventure right now. So we called an Uber, and we went to Times Square, and it was live. I mean, it was so lit up, so bright that it looked like daylight. It was amazing. And my friend had never been there before, so she was just in awe. She loved every second of it. So we did some shopping, of course, some people watching, and we may or may not have gotten cheesecake and had it to eat very late at night. But you know what? Girls trip, YOLO, you do what you gotta do. It was so much fun, and it was so great to eat cheesecake and not have to share with my kid. You guys know how that is. So we got home probably around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then we got up at like 7:30 the next morning and showered, did what we had to do, and we were back out the door by 8. It was amazing. We went to the Rockefeller Center, the 9/11 Memorial. We saw the Fearless Girl Charging Bull statues. That was pretty amazing. Then we hit the Seaport District. We went to this place called The Cauldron for dinner. All of my HP fans know what that is. Her and I, we are both huge Harry Potter fans. So we got to go there and do some potions with like alcoholic beverages. It was pretty stinking cool. I will have to post pictures in the Facebook group. Then the next day, we did the exact same thing. Got up super early and then started our day again. And this time we went to go see where Eliza and Alexander Hamilton were buried. So that was really cool to see. We looked at Chinatown again. Then we went to see Harry Potter on Broadway. So it was two shows and it was absolutely amazing. The first show was at 2 o'clock, and then there was about a 2-hour intermission, so to speak, and then we went back at 7:30 to see the second part of the show. It was so good. I would do that over and over and over again. Then after, of course, we did Times Square again because we can't go home too early. I mean, we are in this city that literally never sleeps. It was so busy. Another thing that we did that I was so proud of is we rode the subway system and we did awesome. It only took us one time to get it right, and we were pros. By the end of our trip, we were jaywalking with the rest of the folks. It was pretty awesome. I've got nice pics of that, too, because I was pretty proud. I can't follow a map, so thank God for GPS. And your GPS gets you right to the right train and all kinds of things. It was pretty cool. So we went on this like impromptu boat tour. It was about an hour, and it took you near, you were in like the East River as well as the Hudson River, and then it took us all the way to the Statue of Liberty, and it was such a beautiful sight to see. She is huge, and I learned so many amazing facts about the Statue of Liberty, and you know what? I got kind of teary-eyed when our tour guide was telling us about how she got here, what she represents, what she looks like, and the reasoning, and it was just such a beautiful thing. If you ever get the chance to go and see the Statue of Liberty in person, please do. It was probably the best $31 I've ever spent. It was pretty, pretty cool. Another thing that we did, and I'm glad I did it because I was kind of afraid. My friend, she really wanted to go and do this observation deck type of thing. Can't remember the exact amount of floors, but it was insane. So you fly up this elevator and then you get out and you can see the whole city of New York, and it was so amazing. So we saw the Empire State Building, and then all of the other important buildings that are huge and just beautifully designed. It was so cool. I was so glad that I experienced that as well. Then on the last day, we went to Central Park and we walked it. I was pretty impressed. Saw the, I think it was called Strawberry Fields, something for John Lennon. To be completely honest, I didn't know a whole lot about that, but she schooled me. Thanks, friend. Then we went to the Friends building and I got good pictures of that to see where, you know, Friends was shot in production. And that was really cool to see. Looks just like you would imagine, just like it does on TV. Then we went to Carrie Bradshaw's apartment. All my Sex and the City friends are probably yelling right now. It's so great to see her stoop and, you know, where her apartment was. I did do a little bit of research on that, and actually where you can go in New York to see the front of her building was not actually the inside of her apartment. I thought that was really interesting. We went to Soho, Greenwich Village. It was such a good time. We did all of that in 3 days. We got about 30,000 steps every day. I was so sore. I am just now able to walk straight today. And this was I got home about 4 days ago. It's been nuts. It was one of the best trips I've ever been on. We went to bed late, woke up early, and just went. We did so good. Lots of shopping. Speaking of Sex and the City, Sarah Jessica Parker has a shoe store. I didn't know that. And she has it right in Seaport, where there's a lot of shopping, and we were able to go in and look at some really cute shoes. Her cheapest shoe, I think, was $3.95, so obviously I didn't come home with any. Maybe one day, maybe after this podcast takes off, I'll be able to go back to New York and buy those shoes. Yeah, I can do it. Hashtag goals. So that is why this episode is a little bit late. I just took a little bit of a vacation, and I had all of the intention to come home on Monday or even Tuesday and record this episode for my friends, but I was just tired. And, you know, life, kid, husband, work, nothing stopped here. So I just had to jump back in and pretend I wasn't tired. So that was my weekend. I just wanted to share that with you guys. I will post some pictures in our Facebook group if you want to see some of the highlights of my trip. Oh, I do have one more story to tell you. So like I said, me and my friend are Harry Potter fanatics, so we were both kind of decked out in our Harry Potter shirts, because that was the whole point of the weekend, was to go see Harry Potter on Broadway. So we both had on our cool Harry Potter shirts. I have a Harry Potter backpack, so does she. So we are across the street from, I think this was around the 9/11 memorial, we saw this beautiful building. I mean, it was probably the most beautiful building I've ever seen. And so we said, you know what, let's go in and see what it is. We assumed it was a church. We walk in. It's a very beautiful, elegant, you can tell extremely rich Catholic church. And I've got pictures of it. I'll have to show you guys. And we walk in and we're just looking around, and it is ginormous. The structure was out of this world. We walk in, we're doing our thing, admiring everything. All of a sudden, there's a guy who walks beside us, and he says something along the lines of, "You should believe in God the way you believe in magic." And my friend and I, at first we looked like, wait, what? And then he said something else again and said that we shouldn't believe in magic, but believe in God. And like after the fact, I was thinking to myself, well, how come I can't like both? Like, how come I can't like Harry Potter and still believe in God? And why do you assume that since I am wearing Harry Potter stuff that I can't love and appreciate God too? And you know, hindsight is always 20/20. So I had all of these things that I wanted to say after the situation was done and we were out of the building, but we were just shocked that he would say something like that. You know, this person, this Catholic man, and that's an assumption, I'm assuming that that's what he was, you know, judged us for that. And it was a t-shirt. It's crazy. And then my other thought was, how do you know what Harry Potter is then? How do you know about magic? And do you think it's a cult? Or, you know, obviously you know something about it. It's all make-believe. It's all in fun. It's just fun. Why can't I like both? And the reason why I say this story is, don't judge people. You don't know somebody until you know somebody. Don't do that. I'm a really nice human being who loves God. And just because I love Harry Potter doesn't mean I believe in magic and not God, right? So if you take anything away from that long story I just told you, don't judge people. Get to know them. Play a little game with yourself. Look at a person and say what you think they are or how you think they behave or what their story is, and then get to know them and see if you were right. You're probably not going to be right, but that's something that I like to do with strangers. I wonder what their story is. Anywho, let's get back to the fun. So tonight we had date night because it's Thursday and that's what we do. And tonight was the letter E. So as you know, E is kind of hard to figure out what you're going to do. Even on the meme or on the paper that tells you some E ideas, I think there were only two. And one was the escape room. And obviously we didn't plan ahead to do anything like that. And that's only fun with other people. And we didn't have anybody to invite so in such short notice. So my husband had a really good idea. This week we have been without a dishwasher because ours broke. And so we needed to go buy one. So today he texts me and he says, "Eat and explore NFM," which is Nebraska Furniture Mart. And he said, "Exercise by walking around." So that was pretty good. So we did that. We went to Nebraska Furniture Mart, purchased a new dishwasher. Oh, what fun. I know you guys are all jealous. Hey, it keeps me from having to wash the dishes. So I am all about that purchase. So we ate and then we explored Nebraska Furniture Mart. So that was a good time. Only spent a couple hours, but it was nice to get out, just us. And we went to Hoo Hot for dinner. That was a good time. I really overdid it, but you know what? It was date night, and that's that. That's what we did tonight. I know you guys all love to hear about our date night, and if you don't, just pretend like you do. Okay, we've got some really good questions that came in this week. The first one, we are going to do help. My friend owes me money. Okay, so here's some background on it. My friend is throwing some kind of party or doing a party, something like that, and she is getting a party bus together and she wanted everybody to chip in. So the people who wanted to chip in had to pay X amount of dollars, we'll just say $60 each, just to pay for it. As you know, or maybe you don't know, but party buses are a lot of money. You have to pay for the actual bus, then you have to pay for the driver and then the tip, so on and so forth. So her friends all said that they would do it, and then she had this one friend who said she was in and that she would pay, and she didn't. So my friend, being the sweet little thing that she is, was just like, "I don't know how to ask for it. I want my money back, but I don't want to like offend her or say something to her and she gets upset." And so I'm like, "Girl, you better get your money back, because you didn't assume that she was going to pay you back. She said that she was going to pay you back." Oh, and to add insult to injury, she saw this chick who owes her the money like over the weekend or something, and she didn't even acknowledge it. She didn't even say, "Hey, I know you, I owe you some money, but I don't have it right now. I'll pay you Friday." Wasn't even any of that. And of course my friend, she was just so sweet and she didn't want to bring it up. They're all having a good time, but you know, obviously it's in the back of my friend's mind and that's gonna taint the relationship, right? So she asked me what I would do, and I said, "You text that girl. If you don't want to call her out, then text her." I mean, we all know that we've all sent a text before that we send because we don't have the balls to say it out loud to their faces. So you go ahead and send a text and tell her, "Hey, I saw you this weekend and I totally forgot to ask you, do you have that money? Can you PayPal it right now? However, whatever you want to do, Venmo, Cash App, can you get it to me right now?" So she did that, and then the friend said that they were going to pay her back, and she didn't. But she did end up paying her eventually, but she didn't pay her when she said she would. And I'm glad that she did get paid, and I'm glad that she did speak up for herself and ask for her money back, because if she wouldn't have, that girl would have just kept her money and not thought another thing of it. So my advice was, of course, for her to reach out via text and stay on her. Even if you have to ask for it more than once, that's your money and you need to make sure you get it back, and keep this note for yourself. You will never do anything like this, front her any money or loan her any money anymore. Lesson learned. All right, our next one is, "Hey, Shishi, So my daughter fell on Friday. They called and said that she fell, but they don't think that she needs stitches, but I should decide. So I took her in. They did have to glue it. Then on Monday, her first day back, she falls again, this time off of the swing. This happened at 10:30 a.m. I get an email at 12:30 that I don't read until 2 p.m. saying she fell, scratched her nose, and had a bloody nose, and they tried to call, but they didn't have my number. Long story short, these things do happen. Do I say anything to them? I mean, the kid had a head injury on her last day there on Friday. And then you email me and say you don't have my number, the number you called me with on Friday. I don't want to be a complainer there or make a fuss or over nothing. Excuse me. Am I overreacting? Okay, friend. No, you are not overreacting. Do these things happen? Absolutely. What disturbs me the most is the whole, we didn't call you because we don't have your number. However, we know that that's not true because they called you on Friday. So let's be honest. That bugs me the most out of all of this. Yes, she fell twice, and that stinks. And as a mama bear, you don't want to see them get hurt. You don't want them to have accidents. But yes, they do happen. But both of these accidents sound like a pretty big deal. I mean, she had a cut that had to be glued together. She had a bloody nose. I just wonder about the supervision or lack thereof. Especially like for me, I was in childcare for a long time when I graduated high school and while I was in college a little bit. And I remember if something major happened to a kid, my eyes are on that kid to make sure that they are safe and I don't want to have a repeat of what just happened. You know, I watch all of the kids and you love all of the kids, but clearly there's something going on here with your kid to where she keeps falling. So I would just make sure that she's okay. And it could just be that maybe she's a little clumsy or she's a daredevil. I mean, I'm not sure, but no matter what the circumstance is, I'm going to do my best to protect this child because that's my job and children need protection. So in my opinion, I think that I would absolutely say something. And I would even start it with, you know what, I don't want to be a complainer or I don't want to seem like I don't trust you guys or anything, but I am concerned that my kid keeps coming back or keep coming home with these major injuries. You know, what can I do or what can we come up with to make sure that these things don't happen? I think that that's expected. And if you bring it to their attention that you do care and you are noticing a trend, then maybe they will step it up and watch a little better. And if things are just not safe, they need to make it safer. I mean, so I know your child is 3 years old and a three-year-old on a swing, somebody should be right there. That's dangerous on its own. Of course, let kids run, jump, and play and explore, but you gotta have eyes on those kids and be there to help them. And for them to say that they don't have your phone number, that really bothers me. But my other thing is who's next in line? This child, I know for sure, has a father, has grandparents in the picture. There are emergency contacts. Contact somebody to get to you. So I just feel like protocol wasn't followed, or maybe they need one in place, something like that, because that seems a bit much to me. So if you don't want to talk about maybe the issue of her falling often or getting hurt often, bring up that concern. That's a big safety concern. You didn't get that email for an hour and a half later. At this point, she's probably taken a nap. Maybe she shouldn't have taken a nap if she hit her head, hit her poor little face. I mean, there's just so many things wrong with this. Absolutely voice it. I do not think you're overreacting. I think you are a mother who is concerned. And if you don't voice these opinions and something major happens that could have maybe been prevented or somebody could have been watching a little better, then you'd never forgive yourself. So in my opinion, you are not overreacting and you need to have a conversation with management and the teachers involved. Okay, here is the next question. A very good friend of mine has been struggling with alcoholism for years. I have continued to give her love, support, and encouragement while trying not to be an enabler. She lost her house a few years ago and now has been evicted from her apartment. She has not been able to hold a job for years and is now homeless and facing a cancer diagnosis. She called from the hospital asking if she can live with me. Her kids have cut ties. Her mother is deceased. It's a horrible situation and my heart says yes, but my head knows it will not come to a good end. How do I make peace with this? Oh, friend, that's a hard one. You know, it's so hard to watch the ones that we love struggle and not step in when we can step in, when we are able to step in. But sometimes stepping in and helping them isn't the best thing for them, because we do become enablers, because sometimes we believe in our people more than they believe in themselves, or we have that want for our people more than they have it for themselves. One thing that I have learned about addiction is you kind of have to let people go their own way. You can't lift out your arms and take care of them all of the time. If it were a little something, I can see it. She needs $100 to make her rent. Okay, that makes perfect sense. But to open up your home to somebody who has a problem and is not getting the help that they need, then you can't put yourself and your family at risk. And I know that I'm sounding a little bit more like I know more to the story than it is. It's a friend of mine who posted this for me, so I do know a little bit more of the background. But my friend has a family and, you know, things that she's worked hard for. And she's been down this road with her friend before. So it's just, you already know the outcome and you can't help your friend this way. I think that you are doing the best thing that you can do is just by loving her from a distance, talk to her on the phone, guide her as much as you can, but you can't take her into your home because then her problem becomes your problem. So how do you come to peace with it? You're probably not going to come to peace with your decision, but you have to know that you are doing the best thing for yourself and for your friend, because you do become an enabler. Your friend sounds like she's hit rock bottom, and maybe that is exactly what she needs to get the help that she needs and figure out what she's going to do with her life. That really stinks that she has a cancer diagnosis too. I mean, she's just getting hit hard with it. But there's other help out there. Maybe you can help her get help elsewhere, but there's just not a whole lot you can do. And your peace is just going to come from within and knowing that you can't help her in a way that is going to help her. You can help her put a Band-Aid over the situation by letting her live with you, but that's not really doing much for her in the long run. My opinion is just love her from a distance, help her find the help that she needs, but you can't enable her and have that guilt with you. People are grown-ups and they make their own decisions, and almost you make your bed, you've got to lie in it. And I know that sounds harsh and that sounds mean, but she's a grown-up and she should be able to do the things that she has to do to be in this world and do what she has to do. And if not, then she has to ask for a different kind of help. Her living with you and disrupting your life and your family is not the answer, and it's not fair to you. So my advice to you is to just love her from a distance, love her with your hand out, you know, just that arm's length away. And just, if you're a praying woman, then just pray about it. If you're spiritual, just send some good thoughts into the atmosphere, be thinking of her, send some good vibes, and just let her do her. Obviously, with her children cutting ties, that's a big red flag there. So you just have to be at peace with letting her live her life in her decisions. It's kind of a sad one. I hope that helps, friend. Okay, so I found a few good questions on the internet. Let's dive in. After 3 perfect dates, my new guy ghosted me. He stopped answering my text out of nowhere. Well, first of all, that's just a punch in the gut, isn't it? We always want to feel like we are the best thing that a person has ever met and ever liked, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And unfortunately, yes, you did get ghosted, and that hurts. That sucks. Even if you really didn't like this fella, you don't want to be the person getting ghosted. So my advice to you, probably what happened was he just realized that, I'm really just not that into you, or maybe he got back with an ex, or you know, he just didn't see a future with you. I mean, that's just what it is. And nowadays, that's what people do. They don't really have a face-to-face with you anymore. They just stop talking to you. And it's that easy. And they probably block you on social media and stop answering your texts and just falls off the face of the earth. That's what it is. I mean, that sucks, but they just weren't that into you. I'm sorry, friend. Okay, next question. Do I tell my future IVF children they were once frozen embryos? What do I say? Gosh, I never really thought of that. If you want to, I don't know why that's important. That might be one of those things that doesn't even need to come up unless they grow up and have fertility issues and they need help. I mean, I don't know. Gosh, that one kind of stumps me. I don't know that I'd make it a point to tell them at age 10, hey, by the way, you came into this world via IVF, in vitro fertilization. I think that's one of those things you can probably just take to the grave. Before telling somebody something, I try to find the good in it. Is this going to make a difference or is this going to hurt them? Is it worth it? Whatever their reaction is going to be, is it worth telling them? And this is one of those cases where I ask myself, is it worth it? What benefit would there be to tell this person that information? I think that I wouldn't tell. The more I think about it, I don't know that I would tell. And if you do choose to tell, I mean, just be prepared to talk about all the everything. Now we're going to get into the fertility issues. Who had the issue? Did you both have the issue? What happened? You know, there's a lot to dig into there. And it's kind of one of those things like telling your kid that you had sex. Like, nobody wants to hear about any of that. So I'm going to go with just don't. Don't tell them. Okay, the next question is, can I ask him not to have a bachelor party? I don't want my guy seeing, admiring, or being turned on by other naked women. Can you ask them? Absolutely. You can ask anybody anything. And depending on how much this matters to you or how much your fiance matters or how much you matter to, your feelings matter to your fiance, he probably won't do it if you don't like it. Or he'll say, you know what, this is my last hurrah, I'm doing it, get over it. I don't know if you want to go there unless he asks you, does this bother you? Just let him have his one night. Hopefully it's not one of those situations where he gets out of line. But you might just have to just swallow that one. Just don't worry about it. If it's something that really bothers you, then just talk to him about it. Don't say, I don't want you to do it. Don't do it. Just say, hey, you know what? It really makes me nervous, or I really am not comfortable with you having a bachelor party. So take what you want out of that. Like, hopefully that will make you not want to do it. But I don't think you can just say, I don't want you to have one. Don't do it. Because if he does want to do it and he doesn't, he's going to resent that. And then, you know, it can just become a thing. You're marrying this dude. Have some trust. I don't know how strippers work everywhere, but I believe that you're not supposed to touch him anyway. I'm sure that people do. But just roll with it. It's his last hurrah. If he wants to do it, just let him do it. Just make sure your brother goes or somebody that he's intimidated by or something. I don't know. Maybe that'll work. That'll make you feel better. But I don't think that you can ask him not to. I think that you can tell him that it makes you uncomfortable and go from there. Okay, one more question. Is it ever okay to ask my coworkers about their salaries? I want to get an idea of how much my coworkers make to negotiate my salary when the time comes. Well, that's a good thought behind it. I mean, your reasoning is very valid, but I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, we all know that there is a nice fluctuation between pay, especially between, you know, with men and women. But honestly, all it's going to do is either it's going to upset one party, whether it's you or it's your homie. Somebody is not going to come out of this happy. This happened to me when I used to work in daycare. Somebody asked me how much I made, or I think she saw my check or something and saw how much I made, and she was livid. And she'd been working there many, many years before me. And I made like $2 or $3 more than her. And it changed everything. It kind of changed how she talked to me. She was kind of irritated with me. She was irritated with our boss, and she did end up leaving. And I understand why, because I was shocked when I saw how much she worked, because I was thinking, wow, you've been here way longer than me. That's kind of shitty on our employees' end, but that's why they don't want us to know what everybody makes. I honestly went into that job at the perfect time. I had put down how much I wanted, and they were in dire need of somebody. And I remember my boss was going out of town, and she just needed a body, so she accepted my offer. And that's how I got in at that amount. And nope, I think I was making the most out of everybody, and they had been there for a very long time after me, or before me. So it's just not, it's not a good idea to talk about salaries. I do get the reasoning, but you know what? That's what Google is for. You can Google it, put in your state, and put in the job description or the job title, and then you can see that range in salary. Then, of course, bump it up. That way you can negotiate. But it's not a good it's not a good idea to ask about salaries, because somebody is going to be resentful, whether that's you because you lowballed, or you know, you could be making a whole lot more, or you should be making a whole lot more, or the person who you asked for that, because after you tell them or they tell you, they're going to want to know what you make. And so now there's an issue, and now there's a little animosity or whatever. Chances are good you're not making the same thing. So with that said, just don't do it. Google it. Okay, so now we will talk about some news I found on the internet. I found some really interesting things. Just an update on the college scandal that I talked about last time. I had a friend reach out to me and say, you know, about how the Felicity Huffman, I think she got like 2 weeks or something like that of jail time, maybe 7 days, I can't remember. And then we compared it to another lady who did kind of the same thing, but not really. She used her nanny's address for her kindergarten son to go to a better school, and she was homeless. So a friend of mine looked into that a little bit, and she found that the mother of the kindergartner actually had a background, and it seemed like her sentencing all blended together. So that's why she got so much time. I really wanted to dig in and find that story and find that, but I just have not had the chance to with my vacation and all. And with my quick Google search, I wasn't able to find that. So at some point I will, and I will post that in our Facebook group if you want more information about that. Okay, so the next thing that I want to talk about is if you watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Kenya Moore and Mark Daly have called it quits. They divorced, y'all. Who saw that coming? I wish you could see me, because I'm raising my hand right now. I knew that that was a sham from the beginning. Kenya and this guy all of a sudden got married, and she's pregnant. I'm glad that she's had a baby, because that's something that she's always wanted. She always wanted the marriage, always wanted to have a baby. So I'm glad that that happened. But I knew that this relationship wasn't going to last long. I saw some rumors that he actually has an ex-wife and children, which they never spoke about, and that could have something to do with the divorce. So, more to come on that. The next thing I saw was the Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union story, where they will not raise their children to believe in Santa Claus. They've decided that they are not going to give Santa credit for buying gifts. Now, for that, I can agree with that. I hear you that. But why spoil it for your kids? It's so much fun. I think it's so great to have that excitement and to be good. And I mean, being good and you playing that card, Santa's watching. I mean, hello. I have gotten through many years by being on the good list for my kid. Oh, do you want to be on the naughty list? Oh, Santa's watching. Also, at Christmas time, where they go to bed early because they know Santa's coming. When? So, I mean, sucks for the kids and sucks for them, because I like my quiet time. And I like using that as, you know, an incentive. You better be good. It's a nice little threat. So for all of you parents out there, don't take that away from yourself. I mean, Don't take that away from your kids. Okay, the next thing I saw that I found interesting was the Demi Moore drama. Well, not really drama, but it's stuff. So she's got a memoir coming out called Inside Out. I was thinking of doing like a book club about that. Maybe we can all read it and then talk about it in the Facebook group. In that book, she talks about her mom's suicide attempt and how she like legit had to fish out pills from her mom's mouth from her mother attempting suicide. And that just breaks my heart. Can you imagine as a kid having to do something like that? Tragic. She also talks about how she was obsessed with working out. Remember those G.I. Jane days when she was hot stuff? I mean, she's still hot. She's always been hot, but I can see it. Now that she's written about that and I know that, I can totally see it. Kind of wish I had that problem because I'm on the wagon, I'm off the wagon, I'm on the wagon. I need to get obsessed with it. And then also, she was in a couple threesomes with Ashton Kutcher. Can you believe that? Ashton, I can see it. Her? No. And she hated herself for it. She felt so ashamed. And I believe that those were her exact words. She felt shame after. How sad. Why would you partake in something like that when all of the parties don't want to be? I'm so excited to dive into that. It's called Inside Out. It's Demi Moore's memoir. So let's read that and talk about it. Okay, I've got a couple of post secrets here. So the first one that I saw was, and I quote, "I wish I were black." That is pretty hilarious to me. I'm pretty sure I've never heard anybody say, "I wish I were black." I mean, I feel like kind of black is the last thing most people want to be. Not if you're black, but you know, just because of history, right? I always get, "Oh, I wish I had black hair," or my favorite one that probably every single one of my friends have ever said to me, because if you can't tell or if you didn't know I'm black, it's a little joke for some of my friends there. They always say, "Oh, I'm almost your color," when they tan, or "I would be fine if I didn't have to tan and I was your color." So I get those things sometimes and I laugh. It's funny. I get it. But I've never heard anybody say, "I wish I were black." So my advice to you is just love yourself. You're not black. You weren't meant to be black. God didn't make you black. I didn't make you black. Your parents didn't make you black. Just be what you are. Be white or be Asian or be whatever you are, non-black person. Just love yourself and be who you are. I do want more information on that. Like, what about being black do you want? It's kind of comical. When I first read it, I laughed. Next post secret. A coworker made fun of me for meeting my boyfriend online. 1.5 years later, I saw her on the computer at work looking at the same website. I truly hope she will find as much happiness as I have. I just have to LOL at this one because people are so judgmental. And nowadays, that is how most people are finding people. And I've heard some people say, "Oh, it's just hookups, blah, blah, blah." No, it's just like with anything else. It's what you look for, what you put out there, and what you accept. Online dating nowadays is no different than going to the bar and meeting a person. You can either hook up with them or you can try to start a relationship. It's the exact same thing. Yes, I feel really strongly about that. I have met my husband online and we're amazing together. He's kind of a big deal. I'm kind of a big deal too. And it works. What was nice was that my husband reached out to me and we realized that we had people in common. His family knows my family. It just all worked perfectly. We kind of run around in the same circles and have been surprised that we didn't know each other before we met. We are almost 5 years strong. So with anything, it works. It just depends on, again, what you put out there and what you receive. Of course, there are creeps online who only want hookups. Same thing with going to the bar or even meeting someone at the park. Just doesn't matter. It's all about who you attach yourself to. And as far as this person, kudos to her. But you know what I would do? I'd completely rub it in her face. I'd be like, "Oh, so I see you are on this website. Good for you. Do you remember when you judged me for it? Oh yeah, I'm that girl." I would absolutely do it. I wouldn't do it that meanly, but I'll just be like, "Huh, well, look at here. Look at what website you're on." And then I'd say, "Good luck to you. I do hope it works for you." Okay, now we have a "Whose side are you on?" And in the Facebook group, I put up a poll and boy, did we get a good response from this one. A wife gets a message on Facebook from an old high school flame. The wife responds nonchalantly and the conversation is completely friend-zoned. Husband wants wife to not communicate since they had a prior relationship. Wife says they are just friends and there's nothing to worry about. Okay, so we have the whose side are you on? His side wins with 7 votes. And then her side wins with 5 votes. And I just want to read you a couple of the opinions that my friends in the Facebook group have. Amy says, nope, this dude isn't reaching out to catch up. My opinion. Jen says, I have been single for far too long to have an opinion. I can talk to whoever I want and no one cares. LOL, my friend. Okay, so then the next one, Tony says, high school, please, it's fine. And then she says, also, you don't get to tell your partner who they can talk to if they have a healthy relationship. That is exactly how I feel. However, I can see the other side of it. And then Holly in the Facebook group says, I am on her side, but I did hear that this exact situation has led to a big increase in women cheating. I can understand that, Holly, absolutely. However, nobody's going to cheat, man or woman, unless they want to cheat. And I can actually see both sides of this. I agree with Tony when she says, you don't get to tell me who I can talk to. I talk to who I want. You should trust me and I'll do what I want to do. But then there's a part of me that says, I respect my husband or I respect my mate. And if they are not comfortable with it, then I need to stop it. Because if the situation were reversed and I just wasn't comfortable with it for whatever reason, I would hope that they would appease me in the way that I feel. So I don't see anything wrong with friendly conversation. It's completely friend zone. It's not in secret. You can see everything that we're talking about. I think that it would be okay for a high and by here and there, not deep conversation every night type of thing. But I can see both sides of it. And you can catch feelings from talking to people. I mean, it happens every day, so I can understand that point or that part of it too. I think that in this situation specifically, even if it is friend zoned and it's innocent and it's no big deal, if your husband is uncomfortable with it, then you should just respect that and be honest with your old high school friend. Say, hey, you know, I'm married. My husband maybe doesn't really know you and is just not comfortable with us talking all the time. You know, we can talk on Facebook publicly, like if you're commenting on pictures or statuses or something like that. But the inbox, the DMs, so to speak, probably would need to stop out of respect for your partner. And I just want to throw out there, when was the last time, when were you in high school? Like if you're my age, I'm 25, remember guys, 25. High school wasn't that long ago. But if you're older, like what my license says, then, and it's a complete lie, don't listen, then that was a long time ago. A long time ago. So probably 20, 30 years or so ago, is a high school flame really, really going to do anything? Or are there really feelings still there? But you know, that's neither here nor there. If your mate, if your spouse is not comfortable with it, then probably the right thing to do is just to cease that conversation that nobody else can see. Okay, so that is the end of our episode. And I think this is the longest one yet. I should go to New York more often, huh, friends? I do like to leave you with some advice. And that advice is actually going to lead me into next week's episode. This advice for the week is from Julie. Oh, and I think I'm going to say her last name wrong. Jancius. Anyway, she posted a meme in her Facebook group. We call her the Angel Lady. And she posts a lot of positive things. And she does readings. And she speaks to spirits, souls. And she's just an amazing lady whom she's actually going to be on my podcast soon. We are going to talk. And she's going to tell us all about her background and how she got into this, and how she's a very spiritual person. No voodoo, no weird stuff going on. She is just a blessed woman. Anyway, she is going to be on the pod. We record next week. I think I'll release that on Friday next week. But she is just delightful, the sweetest thing. So go find her Facebook group. And I'll actually add that to our Facebook group so that you can find her. But she put a meme in that I thought was beautiful. She put, love yourself for all that you haven't yet manifested, for all the experiences that have yet to claim you as their vehicle, for all the ways in which the empty spaces in your life are trying to teach you how to have compassion for yourself. That is a nice way to end this. So look forward to next week, where you get to learn more and hear more about our good friend Julie. She's pretty sweet. You're gonna love her. Don't forget to send me questions. You can DM me, call me, text me, whatever. Skype message me. I don't know. Send flyers, something up into the air. Send me your questions for advice. We are having a blast with this. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. Follow me on all social media at saywhatsheshe.com. Please join our Facebook group. It is so much fun. We're having a blast in there. Just go into your Facebook toolbar, search for Say What, She, and it'll pull you right up. I'll let you right in, and we can start chatting. Thanks for sticking with me, friends. This is just a blast. I love doing it. I love chatting with you guys. So send me some messages, and let's chat. Bye, friends.